Author Lee Stout has written a book called A Simple Matter of Justice. It details how and when women started to become full members of the federal workforce. And he joins us now with that story. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Now, your new book points to a certain moment in a certain administration when this rise started. Tell us about that.
Yes, we're talking about the Nixon administration at a time between 1969 and 1973. And the book focuses on the appointment of Barbara Hackman Franklin, who may be known to some as Secretary of Commerce in the first Bush administration. But she began her government career in the White House, in the Nixon White House, beginning in 1971, as the first person ever appointed to recruit women for executive and policy positions in the federal government. And so this book talks about how that came about and her story, her experiences, but it's also based on an oral history project and includes excerpts from almost 50 of the women and men who worked in the administration and who were part of that early movement.
Now, in your book, you point out that three of the first 200 policy positions in the new Nixon administration went to women, meaning that 197 went to men. So what was President Nixon's motivation for doing this? Was it him or was it just a sign of the times?
I think it was a little bit of both. You certainly can't ignore the times. I mean, most of us are familiar with Betty Friedan's book, The Feminine Mystique, which had been published a couple of years earlier. The women's movement was in full force by this time, and there was a lot of contention across the country about the role of women in society, and there were also laws that still prevented women from doing many things, as well as just custom and tradition. So that had an impact. But I think President Nixon also believed that there was a political value in beginning to take advantage of this. And after all, remember, he had two daughters who he wanted to see have the greatest opportunities possible. And I think he had a personal sympathy for the idea that women could and should move forward in professional positions.
So he gave this responsibility to Barbara Hackman Franklin. How did she deal with it?
Well, I think she basically took a three-pronged approach towards it. One was that she became the recruiter and began to develop a talent bank of women that they could plug into positions. But I think even more critical was the fact that the president issued a directive to all of the cabinet departments and other agencies requiring them to develop action plans to place women in positions, to promote the hiring and promotion of women from these lower grades into the middle grades and beyond. And the third prong was the appointment of Jane Baker Spain to the Civil Service Commission so that she could monitor and ride herd on the evolution of women's roles in the civil service. And that was, in addition to appointing women to high-level policy positions, that was also part of it as well.
We're speaking with Lee Stout, the author of A Simple Matter of Justice, and there was a little bit of politics to this. There was an incident called the Women's Surrogate Program. How did that work?
Well, I think that was part of the 1972 election campaign. One of Barbara Franklin's roles, she was one of the very few women in the central part of the White House, in the administrative side, if you will, she really had a responsibility to go out and represent the women's program of the administration to women's groups and organizations across the country. And so she was on the road a lot, speaking and networking, meeting with women's groups, partially to develop the talent bank, but also partially to try and make people aware of what the administration was doing. And of course, they were making progress. They were appointing more women than they had up to that 1969 press conference that you cited, where there were three out of 200, that was really within the first 2 weeks of the administration's taking office. But she was, the surrogate program essentially took women appointees, women serving in Congress, women who were wives of congressmen and cabinet members, and put them together and took them out to the various states to campaign.
Now, what about the military? Did she play a role, or did they focus at all on getting women into those leadership positions in the military?
Well, that was certainly part of the era. The military, the military was beginning to change. Of course, the president was pushing forward the idea of the all-volunteer armed forces, which could not succeed without opening up more positions to women in the military. General Jean Holm, who was interviewed in this project and who is a part of this book, took the lead in the Air Force, for example. She was the first general in the Air Force and later the first major general in the armed forces, female, that is. She led the fight to change the attitude and rules in the military about what women could do, what kinds of benefits would be available for women, what kinds of positions would be open to women. And so while the White House could not directly order changes like that, that had to come out of the Defense Department and the military, change the culture, if you will. That was certainly part of the interest, and certainly part of the interest of Secretary Melvin Laird, who was Secretary of Defense, who was simply saying to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, there have to be women flag officers, or there won't be any more flag officers. So that was kind of the ultimatum to the generals, that we need women in these positions.
So what was the reaction of the men who comprised most of these senior executive positions, both in the civilian and in the military at this time?
I think that there was a kind of a mixed reaction, just as there was in society. I don't think the government or the military was all that different from society's mixed feelings about all these. There were men who were, we would call them today, sexists, who just couldn't conceive of women being capable or able to do these things or even wanting to do these things. And then there were men who were comfortable with it, and men who thought that this was the right and just thing to do. And that would be representative of the White House staff, where you had liberals, moderates, and conservatives. It would be representative of the officers and flag officers in the military and the staff of the Defense Department as well. So I think that this was something that was coming, that was moving through society. But I think the unique thing about this time for the Nixon administration was that the president saw this as an opportunity, and it made the leadership decisions to move this forward. That took it out of sort of the political realm of just simply being an issue of the left or the Democratic Party, and made it mainstream. It made it kind of a bipartisan issue.
Lee Stout is the author.